This podcast is sponsored by Talkspace. You know when you're really stressed or not feeling so great about your life or about yourself? Talking to someone who understands can really help. But who is that person? How do you find them? Where do you even start? Talkspace. Talkspace makes it easy to get the support you need. With Talkspace, you can go online, answer a few questions about your preferences, and be matched with a therapist. And because you'll meet your therapist online, you don't have to take time off work or arrange childcare. You'll meet on your schedule, wherever you feel most at ease. If you're depressed, stressed, struggling with a relationship, or if you want some counseling for you and your partner, or just need a little extra one-on-one support, Talkspace is here for you. Plus, Talkspace works with most major insurers, and most insured members have a $0 copay. No insurance? No problem. Now, get $80 off of your first month with promo code SPACE80 when you go to Talkspace.com. Match with a licensed therapist today at Talkspace.com. Save $80 with code SPACE80 at Talkspace.com.
At Lowe's, this Veterans Day and every day, verified military members, veterans, and their spouses get automatic silver status in MyLowe's Rewards with free standard shipping, plus 10% off eligible purchases with no annual limit. It's one way we honor and give back to those who have served and still do. Learn more now at Lowe's.com/military. 10% discount can't be combined with another offer. Exclusions, terms, and conditions apply. Loyalty program subject to terms and conditions. Details at Lowe's.com/terms. Subject to change.
Welcome to Rooted Agritourism. I'm Dr. Liz Fidler-Mergen, owner of Sunny Mary Meadow, a U-Pick flower farm, wedding florist, and event venue in central Minnesota. Our mission is to serve anyone rooted in agritourism, value-added agriculture, and rural entrepreneurship. The people turning ideas and raw products into thriving businesses and experiences. Let's dig in. Hello, and welcome back to the Rooted Agritourism podcast. I'm your host, Dr. Liz Fidler-Mergen, and today I have got pretty special guest. It's my dad.
Yeah, it's great to be here, Liz.
Yes.
So, looking forward to this.
All right. So my name is Liz Fidler-Mergen. So Fidler is my late husband. And Mergen, I was remarried in 2024. But my maiden name is Weber. And I've got my dad, JT Weber, to come on. When I first asked him to come on, it was kind of a, what? Why? What are we going to talk about? But I really want to just share a little bit of my background perspective and my experience with essentially value-added agriculture growing up and not really realizing that that's what it was, but I just thought it was kind of normal. And I am finding out in today's world that it's definitely not. And I just want to share just kind of how you've your entire life thought outside of the box and not necessarily ran your beef business based on commodity prices.
Well, I think you might say my journey began, what really made it for me was starting out at South Dakota State University way back in the day. We rode horses to school. That's how long ago,
that's how far back it goes. Okay, okay.
But I was lucky enough to get into a fraternity.
Because you had grown up dairy farm.
Yeah, we grew up on a dairy farm. And
Southwest Minnesota.
I should include that I had a cousin who was my best friend, and we ended up working on a ranch in Wyoming for 6 summers. That was part of my journey, where we worked on a ranch in Sundance, Wyoming in the early years. Before that, my dad and my two brothers, we milked right at 100 cows when I was in eighth grade. So we knew how to work, and that's where we got the work ethic. And then as time went on, I had two brothers at home. There was plenty of help around the farm. My cousin and I ended up in Wyoming for the summers. And part of it was there was a method to my madness, because if I stayed in Wyoming, they owned land in South Dakota also. And we worked somewhat Wyoming and South Dakota where I could get reciprocity in state tuition. So saved a lot of money in college by doing this. The story I'd like to share is that I had a cousin who got me hooked up with Alpha Gamma Rho and South Dakota State University. And that really got me on the right track, because it's an ag fraternity, and we started out on the dairy judging team, then went on the meats judging team. What really helped me and gave me a route was the livestock judging team, general livestock judging team. We were blessed to have a very good coach. We had some very good young men on our team, and we were fortunate enough to be national champions, had an outstanding livestock judging team, and got me looking at livestock in a whole different light, and got me connected with a lot of good breeders nationwide. And that's what I think was a turning point for me, where I realized that what I wanted to do was go after those elite genetics and build on them. And that was my goal from the beginning. But putting it all together, it took some time.
Yeah, we were kind of prepping last night, kind of sharing the different segments. What are kind of the offerings that you do in the beef industry?
Well, I'd say number one is our seed stock operation. My sons and I, through the years, we built an Angus herd, Angus genetics. And then also, as we move forward, we found that we had customers that wanted a Simmental Angus, they call them Sim Angus, a blend that was very popular also. So we decided to offer both Angus and Sim Angus as we move forward. We've been putting on a club calf sale. It's an industry of its own. It's where you show cattle what they look like. The club calf business is a very interesting business. Their goal, they want to win state fairs. They want to win major shows. And it's very competitive, but very exciting at the same time. And if you're fortunate enough to win a state fair or win a major show, it's pretty prestigious. So the club calf has its own industry. And as we move forward, and as my son became taking over the operation on a day-to-day basis, it allowed me to do some order buying, which basically what I do is I'll buy cattle, feeder cattle, try to put the best feeder cattle into the best feeder's hands. I'll go out and basically procure, you might say, these cattle for customers to feed. And then also, I auctioneer like six times a month at a sale barn in Pipestone, Minnesota. So it all kind of fits together. Like when you're buying cattle in a sale barn, there's an auctioneer. He's selling them as they come in the ring. But you've been in his shoes. You can kind of read the room. You can kind of see where he's going, see who's bidding against you. It just gives you one more piece of information that helps as you buy these cattle in a sale barn setting. I would say basically all four of them fit together, but at the end of the day, it's the same thing. Superior genetics give superior results, and we've been able to market those genetics. We've been pretty fortunate over the years. Not to brag, but we've had some steers come off our place, bring a lot of money. And we're very fortunate to have that happen, but we've learned that in the club calf business, there's kind of like five basic things. They need to have plenty of muscle, which is a genuine thing in both the club calf business and the feeder calf business. They need to have what we call skeletal width. And by that, I mean just bulked up. I mean, they need to be wide made, wide at the ground, pulled apart throughout their entire body, genuine skeletal width. The third thing they need to be is fundamentally sound. They need to be able to travel. That will convert into longevity on these cattle. But the other two things that club calves have, that show cattle have, that you really don't weigh in on feeder cattle, is they need to be proud fronted. And when I say proud fronted, it's like, picture you're at a show, like a lot of you are probably familiar with, you've seen a dog show where they lead those dogs in, they're proud, and as their leader. Cattle shows, there's some similarity there. When they hit the ring, they want to enter that ring like they're king or queen of the ring. They want to show it. So I'm talking about proud fronted. That's what I'm talking about. Their neck comes high into their shoulder and they look the part. And the other thing in the club calf business, hair. Now, what are you talking about, hair? Well, if you have really good hair on these cattle, just picture them coming into the ring with a halter on, and you've got, it's very competitive. Only one animal can win the whole show. Well, how do they do it? They do it with those little extras, that proud front, that beautiful manicured full hair that's just fit to the T, all the way down to their, from the bottom of their foot all the way to the tip of the front of their head. They are manicured and they're ready to go. So that's the thing about the club calf business, that they need to have basically those five things. They need to have plenty of muscle, plenty of skeletal width. They need to be sound at the ground, fundamentally sound. They need to be proud fronted, and they need that beautiful hair. If you can put all those things together, you got yourself a winner. But they're few and far between, those really good ones. When you get one, it's great, but it's harder to raise them. They're hard to come by, and that's what makes them sought after.
And I think, okay, there's a couple things I want to say. One, so I grew up, you grew up, we call it the sale barn.
Yes.
Here in Stearns County, they say the sales barn. I don't know why. Abby's nodding at me, and she's like, yep. Yeah. I don't know why. Around here, it's the sales barn.
Yeah, just we just go.
If you're
I don't
listening
know.
To this,
we just know, go single, sale barn.
If you're
barn.
Listening to this, just curious. Just let us know. Is it sale barn or sales barn? I grew up sale barn. But if you're listening to this podcast and you're wondering, you know, the whole reason that I wanted to start the Rooted Agritourism podcast is this used to be the Flower Farmer Forum podcast. And Dad, I don't know how much we've really talked about this. You've listened to a few episodes.
Yes,
I'll send
I
you
have.
One and say, hey, listen to this one, listen to
enjoy
this one.
Yep.
But ultimately, it was really geared toward those that are trying to profitably grow a cut flower farm, and their business isn't growing flowers. Their business is selling flowers.
Yes.
Because you can be the best grower, but if you don't have someone to market to,
absolutely,
if you don't have someone to buy it,
absolutely,
and the goal is direct to consumer,
yep,
or retail.
Yes.
And so you have to build a customer base.
Yes.
And you know, yeah, you can sell wholesale, but if you're selling direct to a wholesaler that's then selling it to the florist, you know, so even though, yeah, it's direct to the florist, that's still a little bit direct to the consumer rather than selling them at a commodity price where those,
mm-hmm,
wholesalers tell you how much they're going to give you and this is the market,
mm-hmm,
price, whereas you can kind of adjust it a little bit based on supply and demand if you're,
mm-hmm,
selling it themselves. And so that's where this podcast really started. And it's, well, first it was the Sunny Mary Meadow podcast.
Right.
It was just the background of my story. And I thought my customers were going to want to hear the backstory of how my flowers are grown and the farm and behind the scenes. And it turns out none of my customers were listening because they don't care. If they cared about growing flowers, they would grow them themselves. They just want to buy them. But who was listening was flower farmers across the Midwest and across the country and across the,
mm-hmm,
world. And we had thousands of people listening every week. So we changed it to Flower Farmer Forum. And now we're at this point where a couple years have evolved and I teach a group. We have a community within it called Peddling Perishable Products. And probably half the people in there are doing something else. They're,
mm-hmm,
selling direct to consumer,
mm-hmm,
beef or pork or honey or having a pumpkin patch or doing,
mm-hmm,
something else.
Mm-hmm.
And that's where the idea for Rooted Agritourism came.
Mm-hmm.
As I'm expanding my farm and there's a little bit of argument over whether or not what I'm doing is farming,
mm-hmm,
and just trying to explain that the whole premise behind Rooted Agritourism is agritourism, which is experiences, pairing it with something enjoyable so that people want to use the product, direct to consumer, so,
mm-hmm,
you know, bypassing that, or value added. So direct to consumer, agritourism, value added agriculture.
Mm-hmm.
So how can you take what you have, and this is what the global market commodity pricing is saying it's worth. I hate to use the word factory, but you,
mm-hmm,
know what I mean. In a commodity setting versus, hey, you can add value and then you get to set the price based,
mm-hmm,
on,
mm-hmm,
this value that you add if you have a customer to buy it.
100%.
So that's the whole premise behind this.
Makes
so
sense.
When I was growing up, and this is maybe interesting to hear it from my perspective, but,
mm-hmm,
when I grew up and in high school, the operation was pretty heavily focused on show cattle. When did that pivot decide to come? I mean, was it a saturated market? Was it, hey, we're having, you know, these are selling here, but then the rest,
mm-hmm,
are going to the feedlot, and,
mm-hmm,
how do we?
As we move forward, it became more apparent that, you know, like I talked about before, in order to market a club calf, they have to have all the pieces, the muscle, the skeletal width, the soundness, the proud fronted, the hair. They have to have all the goodies in order to market them. Because like you said, marketing.
This podcast is sponsored by Talkspace. You know, when you're really stressed or not feeling so great about your life or about yourself, talking to someone who understands can really help. But who is that person? How do you find them? Where do you even start? Talkspace. Talkspace makes it easy to get the support you need. With Talkspace, you can go online, answer a few questions about your preferences, and be matched with a therapist. And because you'll meet your therapist online, you don't have to take time off work or arrange childcare. You'll meet on your schedule, wherever you feel most at ease. If you're depressed, stressed, struggling with a relationship, or if you want some counseling for you and your partner, or just need a little extra one-on-one support, Talkspace is here for you. Plus, Talkspace works with most major insurers, and most insured members have a $0 copay. No insurance? No problem. Now, get $80 off of your first month with promo code SPACE80 when you go to Talkspace.com. Match with a licensed therapist today at Talkspace.com. Save $80 with code SPACE80 at Talkspace.com.
Is what it's all about, but in order for there to be a demand for them, they have to have all those pieces. And if they lack one of them, they're pretty difficult to market. So as we move forward, we began to realize that if we're going to put all this time and effort into these cattle And because we do get them ready for videos, we have a video, it's on a Show Circuit online video sale.
Because the sale is online and people are bidding them. And actually, when this episode premieres, this is going to, because the sale's on a Tuesday, right?
It's a Thursday, September 18th.
Okay. Yep. So this is going to premiere that Monday. I'll have the link in the episode notes, but people can check out what it is.
Right. But where we changed is we began to realize that with all this time and effort that we put into it, you have to go after cattle that check all the boxes. And that's when we started to go more into embryos. We would just use our best females and go through embryo transplant and just try to focus on the very best ones. Another thing that we did is that as we move forward, we had fellow breeders that perhaps weren't getting the traffic that we were getting for our sale. People, when I say traffic in September, you'll get people that come through and look at these calves live before the video and, you know, see them for themselves. And then once the video comes on, they've been out and saw them. But we were fortunate enough to get a lot of traffic. So we had fellow breeders that said, we'll put our calves into your hands and, you know, they'll get more views. We feel comfortable at the end of the day that with the amount of work and time that you're putting into them, we're willing to give you a cut of the sales, and hopefully it'll come out better for both of us. Like I said, it's really hard to raise that one that checks all the boxes, but this allowed us to go into a couple of herds and pick right off the top, the ones that made it, the ones that checked the boxes, and put our time and effort into them. And that's how our club calf business changed, that we just focused on the very front end. And then the next step was to go more into the Angus and Sim Angus for... These would be more for the rancher type, cow calf herd type people out there that need, you know, you can kind of forget about, like I said, that fancy front end or that hair on those cattle. You can just go into good, productive, longevity type cattle on the female side. And then on the bull side, it's like you switch gears. You're going into a herd now. When you step away from the club calf deal and go into the rancher's herd that he needs to grind it out year after year with some females that'll last a long time, that'll raise a calf, that'll do all the things that a good mama cow needs to be doing. And then you need to come in with a bull that will raise the kind of steers that when I'm sitting in Mobridge or Belfouche or Aberdeen buying cattle, when the guy's selling them a load lot at a time, he's selling these 550 pound calves in the fall, and there's a whole load of them. There's 100 head of them coming at you at one shot. You know, this is what a rancher put his whole life into. What now we switch gears. We went from a club calf, we want that one perfect individual, to here comes 100 of them at you, just charging into the ring, and you need to make up your mind whether you like them or not. Well, I'm still looking for that skeletal width. I'm still looking for that muscle. I'm still looking for that soundness. I'm looking for that performance. I'm looking for cattle that when they get on the truck and they go to that feeder's place, that they'll put on a lot of weight in a short period of time. Hopefully, you know, they'll put on 4 pounds a day plus. And hopefully they need to perform like that in order to work for that feeder. So we really switched gears. We went from let's bring them in the ring and put a halter on them, the club calf thing, to, okay, now this guy, he's got a whole herd to sell and they need to be consistent. And that's the difference. And that's why it worked for us to, if we're going to do the club calf thing, let's just work on the elite. But if we're going to do the Angus and the Sim Angus and sell bulls to breeders and sell some females, we need an animal that the consistency goes throughout the entire herd, that we can rely on those genetics, more of a uniform, consistent type of a deal. That was the downfall with the club calves. It's hard to get that ringer, so to speak, that really good one. You're going to get a lot of throwaways. Where with the commercial business, we wanted them consistent all the way through as much as possible. So you're kind of like working with two different programs.
To simplify this, and I think what's going to be funny is I feel like, we'll see, I feel like this is going to get a lot of one-time listeners of people that know you and know us and know our story and like, yeah, I want to hear Liz had her dad on the podcast, right? So some of you that are listening, this is, you're probably in the beef industry. So you're thinking, well, this is obvious, or that, you know, it's kind of over-explaining. But I think one message that I try to explain it to people, because they're like, oh, you grew up with a feedlot. You grew up with cattle. Oh, you raise beef. Your dad raises beef and sells beef and this prime beef. And actually, how I try to take a step back and explain it is, when you say seed stock, you're helping people that raise the cattle for meat, but you're not necessarily raising them for meat. Is that a good way to describe it?
Say, for example, let's say that I'm in Belfouche, which is out there right north of Spearfish, out there in the Black Hills. And they got a sale every Thursday out there. And there's a couple from right west of Belfouche that run a lot of cows, like 1,200 cows. And I was able to buy their steer calves and send them to a feeder in Iowa. And I introduced myself to those ranchers, and I said, we're in the bull business. We've got some Angus and Sim Angus, and we know they're good. We'd love for you to look at them. And we connected the dots, and this spring we actually delivered bulls out there to them. And I'm confident when those offspring come out of those bulls that we deliver to those ranchers right there on the Wyoming South Dakota line, I'm confident those calves will be the kind that I can buy with confidence and place them into other feeders' feedlots so that they can go ahead and those cattle will work for them, do what they need to do.
Well, I think it's funny because this is kind of the example that I give when I have flower farmers that will say, you know, how do you have time to, I mean, we have thousands of plants. You've seen it, right?
Right.
I buy little seedlings, and bear with me, I promise I'm going to bring this back to the kettle, but I buy these little seedlings and I have someone else grow those for me. And then 100 trays come, because to have a greenhouse, to plant those seeds, to do all of that, to spend months with those little seedlings, mm-hmm. I don't enjoy it. And to invest in being able to do that properly would take away from other things that I'm doing at that time. And so that's what I explain, is there are very few, I like to use the term farrow to finish because I feel like that's a common, you know, with hogs or whatever. But as a farmer, as someone in agriculture, as someone in ranching, you get to pick what you want to do. And sometimes it's going to change over time. Mm-hmm. But there are definitely cattle herds in the country that have the cows, they have the babies, they feed those babies, they feed them in a feedlot, they sell them, you know, that do everything, mm-hmm. right? But then there are a lot of farmers that you're talking about, mm-hmm. ranchers or cattle mm-hmm. feeders is the term we'll use, that they buy weaned calves and feed them out and sell them.
They're two different industries. Mm-hmm. The ranchers that I talked about there in Belfouche and on the Wyoming line basically have resources to take those calves to weaning. They'll calve them in March and April, and when October comes, they'll wean those calves and then just winter the cows and start over again. But they really don't have the resources to finish those cattle. Mm-hmm. And that's where
they've got pasture.
Yeah, they've got the pasture for the cows. But to finish these cattle, we need to put them on a ration, a high energy ration, and get those cattle to grade choice and do all the things they need to do. And that's where it makes good sense that you take the cattle to where the feed are. Like, for example, that Belfouche rancher I was talking about, those cattle ended up in Rock Rapids, Iowa, where he will finish them down there where the corn is, and he set up to finish these cattle and take them to where they're ready to be harvested. In today's world, a lot of these steers are going to a lot heavier weights. 15 years ago, a lot of these cattle got finished at 12, 13, 1400 pounds. Well, as we move forward, they're going to heavier weights. They're going to like 1,600 pounds, 1,700 pounds. They're making a bigger animal, but as they
have a bigger frame.
They have the frame to handle it.
They're not just making them fatter.
But no, they need to have the frame. But the more days they have them on feed, now, when you eat a beautiful ribeye steak, and it's just a taste experience of your life, a lot of that is marbling. That's fat within that.
Abby's laughing at the taste experience of your life.
Yeah, it doesn't get any better than a good ribeye. The best ribeye's got plenty of marbling in it. And marbling is fat within the meat. When you're finishing an animal, the longer you leave them on a really high megacal, high energy, high corn ration, the more they marble. There's different grades of marbling. There's prime and there's choice and there's select. But the longer you feed them, the more of those steers or heifers are going to be in the prime category. And that's where you hit a home run, getting that fantastic eating experience. But the rancher's not set up to do that, to finish cattle. They need to go to a yard where they have the resources and the feed where they can put them on that high megacal ration and keep them there for like 150 days.
I think that there's a lot of evolving research when it comes to it.
Yeah.
And I think that beef is extremely popular right now, and the protein movement, and it's definitely...
People love it, and they love it. They're willing to pay for it.
So when it comes to pricing, that's something that we kind of talk about with these interviews. You know, the last gal, I was asking her how she prices her sourdough bread with her grain that she raises themselves and mills. So how do these bulls typically get priced then?
Well, if you back up a second, the club calf is simple because that's based on, we auction them off. They have on the show circuit online sale, they have what they call a racehorse format, and they bid online. So that basically, the buyer establishes the price on them. It's an auction style. The bulls, at this time, we sell them private treaty. Down the road, we might go to an auction, but at this time, we sell them private treaty. And a good gauge is, what's a 550-pound steer worth in the fall? Well, it wasn't very long ago that if you got $1,000 for that calf, you felt pretty darn good. Now we're in a time frame here where, boy, has things changed in the last 2 years. I'm going into the fall run right now, and I'll need quite a few calves to place. These calves that were commanding a 550-pound steer off of a cow in October, like I say, wasn't too long ago when if you could get $1,000, but we're going into this fall feeling like it's going to take about $2,500 to own one of those steers, which is flat out amazing. But a fat steer, like last week.
$2,500 for a 550-pound calf.
Yeah, we're talking a lot
that
of money.
That still
here.
Needs a
long
year
way to go. Long
and
way
a
to
lot
go.
Of feed yeah, to yeah. finish it.
Right now, a customer of mine, he sold his fat cattle a week ago, and they weighed 1,590 pounds, and they brought $2.5250 per pound. They brought $4,018 a piece, which is like, what'd you just say? You got over $4,000 for a fat steer? But that's where we're at. We're at a whole new plateau.
Before
right
the processing,
now.
Before the...
Yeah.
You so got, if you're wondering...
Cattle are, they're at an all-time... The demand for these cattle is at an all-time high. And that's where we're at.
The demand's at an all-time high, and...
The supply isn't there.
Supply isn't there because droughts in the last couple of years.
Right. A lot
of,
I think a lot.
What do you think?
Well, in 2012, there was a major drought. That took a lot of cattle out. And it also made corn really high priced. Corn went to $7 and $8 a bushel. A lot of pasture land, grazing land, got tore up and put into corn.
Because it was worth so much.
And now, here
we
are.
Now we don't have much pasture.
Right. And I think that a lot of things played a lot of roles in it. And I think... Unfortunately, a lot of these ranchers, as they're getting to be my age, and you know, there's nobody to take it over. So that goes on too, where you need that labor out there. You need those people willing to raise these cattle. And I think that a lot of different factors play into it. But unfortunately now, with the prices I just talked about, if you're in, it's great. If you've got some inventory and you've got a cow herd, it's wonderful because you're able to reap the rewards right now. But if you're a young guy wanting to get in and trying to buy cattle and buy land, it's pretty difficult right now for someone to get in from the ground floor and work his way in. Because, well, a good bred cow right now, you know, a young cow, 3-4 years old, that's carrying a baby, you know, she's guaranteed pregnant, she's commanding 4,000 plus on her. I mean, we're at a different time. Big demand. How do you determine the price on a commercial bull to these ranchers? And a kind of an old formula, they're worth what four calves are worth. So four of those 550-pound steers. So it wasn't too long ago, you know, so approximately a lot of bulls were selling in that $5,000 range. Well, now that these calves have basically doubled in price, there's a lot of bulls bringing $8,000 to $10,000, you know, based off of what these feeder calves are worth.
And then they'll bring that bull out to their ranch
and hopefully get
cows.
Several seasons out of that. And that's another thing we've stressed, longevity. We talked about soundness and the way these cattle are fed. We try to put bulls in their hands, in these ranchers' hands, that'll last them for 4 or 5 seasons. That way they can get more value out of them.
Let's just briefly touch a little bit more on the order buying. Why does someone hire you to do that? And how did you get into doing that?
Well, it started out, I'm going to say maybe 10, 12 years ago. There's a demand for, if you're doing it weekly, you just get experienced at it where you can see, like I said, when they're selling 100 of these calves at where you're buying load lots of calves, they'll fill the ring with these calves. You know, let's say, for example, you're in Faith and it's
Faith,
October.
South Dakota. That's a place where there's a sale barn.
And they'll get 10,000 calves through there. Mm-hmm. You know, and it's on a Monday, and they'll start up in the morning, and before that day's done, they'll have 10,000 calves that have been put through that ring. Well, it's a lot to look at. It's a lot to take in. With experience and knowing where these calves come from, it just gives you a leg up on versus going in there once a year and looking at it. If you can look, it's like anything else. The more you do it, the more comfortable you feel with it. You know some red flags to look for. For example, if there's calves coming in that ring, let's just say in faith, and maybe they're, for whatever reason, they're pretty quick, they're pretty short-bodied. Well, I would stay off of them because I would be concerned when I send them to that feeder, are they going to be able to go to that 1,600 pounds? They need that frame in order to do that. And like we talked about, they need that muscling, they need that skeletal width, they need all those things. And I think that's where the customers that I have, they're willing to put their faith in me that I will send them calves that'll work for them. And we built a good relationship that way. And I think they feel comfortable with me and I feel comfortable doing it for them. And it's an experience thing.
How have you built this audience over time or your customer base, essentially?
Like, I think it's kind of word of mouth as I'll get calls from maybe feed salesmen and feed consultants that they've heard of me and maybe they've got a new young guy starting up. For example, that happened last year. We've built a great relationship now, but a young man, he was referred to me and we have a great relationship. I think a lot of times word of mouth, but people will call and say, I hear you buy cattle, you want to place some for me, and kind of works that way. And some of these guys, there's one guy that, like last week, I've been with them since 2008. Mm-hmm. Been with bought all their cattle for 15, 17 years. I bought their cattle.
All right. Well, right before we get into the rapid fire round.
Oh, that sounds scary, Liz.
So one thing that I want to say is, what is the one thing people always get wrong about your industry?
Oh, that's a tough one. Right now, it's interesting, but somehow the word has gotten out that the methane that these cows put out, the straight up cow farts, it's a real issue. In fact, the Angus Association right now is researching that. It's a real issue, but in my little world, I'm like, come on, you know? I mean, you've got huge cities everywhere in this world covered in concrete and blacktop, but you're picking on the cows? I don't get it, but that's just me, you know? But that's a real issue. And time will, hopefully the Angus Association will prove that this is not an issue. And so we'll see. They're working on that right now. And I'll leave that up to the pros on that one.
Yes. What is your favorite farm task?
Probably going out when these cow-calf pairs are on grass. And we finally get them turned out, and it's June. And they're out there, and mama's raising that baby, and they're doing it on their own. And that's when you really enjoy. It kind of all comes together for you, looking at those calves and those pairs on grass, like in that June time frame.
What about your least favorite?
Calving. Calving can be tough. I mean, we calve in January, and the reason we do that, you know, in Minnesota in January, are you kidding me? You know, your calf will freeze real quick, you know. So they have to, as soon as they're born, we've got places where we can take them, heated rooms where we can take those pairs and get them started that first 24 hours to get them going. And we now have, and a lot of people do, have cameras. And so, you know, we have two sons that are in the operation too. And what's really nice, what's been a game changer for us, is that they can be watching on these cameras from their homes, which a few miles away from where we're at, and they can actually do the nighttime calving. Because if you're working all day, keeping them fed when they're calving, you got a full day. And then to go all night long, besides with the calving, it gets to be a lot. And I'm not a spring chicken anymore. And so now, you know, my sons have been able to take on that nighttime calving shift. And that's been a really good thing for everybody, I think.
Well,
I don't know about for them, but yeah. It's been good for me.
Well, that answers the next question. I was going to say, what's your go-to app or resource?
Yeah.
Calving cameras in the barn.
That's been a really big benefit for a lot of people.
Where can listeners find you or follow along? I know we've got a Facebook page, Weber Bros, but... Yeah. I had to laugh because I was looking at this. I'm like, well, I think my dad's probably just going to give his cell phone number out. Like, if you want to buy some cows, here you go.
Well, yeah. I mean, that really threw Weber.
If you want to get a hold of him, you can get a hold of me and we'll make that connection.
That's
we won't give your full-on cell phone on the podcast. But it's on the website, so
yes,
it's on the Facebook
yes.
page. But if you need help buying cattle, he's your guy.
Very good.
All right. Well, thank you so much for listening. That was a very fun episode for me of Rooted Agritourism.
Enjoyed
and just
it, Liz.
Really proud to hear you talk about what you do, what you've built.
And I want to say, without my wife, Luann, who's been a rock all the way, and there was times, trust me, you know, she was a physician's assistant for 28 years, and she can't work anymore because she's struggling with some muscle and nerve issues, but she's been, without her and without my family, none of this would have been possible. It's been a team effort all the way, and I want to give a shout out to The Rock, Luann.
All right, well, we're going to end with that because I'm going to cry now. But anyway, thank you. Thank you so much for listening to this episode of Rooted Agritourism. If you enjoyed it, please leave a 5-star review and share it with someone who would find it helpful or inspiring. Your support helps us reach more rural entrepreneurs, dreamers, and doers just like you. You can explore all of our resources at sunnymarymeadowcoaching.com, where you'll find each episode in blog form, along with free resources to help grow your business. You'll also find info on upcoming on-farm and virtual workshops, classes, and courses. Be sure to check out our monthly membership, Foundations of Peddling Perishable Products, where you'll get access to a full library of our original course content, plus ongoing support through monthly virtual meetups with others in the industry. Just click the link in the show notes or our bio to learn more. We'd love to have you join us. Until next time, keep growing with purpose and stay rooted.